Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Chiefs are back to 500. And all of a sudden, now that we're looking at how they performed the last, was it 3.5 games now? I think we can say now that Rashee Rice is about to come back this Sunday against the Raiders, the Chiefs offense is back.
32 points a game the last four games. I mean, that's our last three games, 32 points a game.
Right.
And that's, you know what, this is the longest stretch of games. The Chiefs haven't had three games they've scored 95 points since 2021. Like, it's been a few years since they've had 95 points in three games. It's a great thing. They're confident. It's a long drive for Detroit to start the game. It was really
a 10-minute drive. Yeah, that
that'll gas defenses. That'll gas defenses. They got to get off the field a little bit faster. But for the most part, hey, this is a big boy pass rush. And, you know, the Ravens, the Jags, they combine for 13 sacks between them. The Chiefs have 13 sacks. We talk about how they can't get to the quarterback. Well, Detroit can because Detroit was second in the NFL in sacks. And they got three last night. But this is the best defensive line they've. I know the Giants pose problems with Brian Burns for sure, but this was the best pass rush.
And Kayvon Thibodeau, yeah.
Yeah, I know they had injuries or secondary, big deal, too, but that defensive line, linebacker at the edges, they were fine in that game, but looked impressive, and we get to see some good things with this offense. They were confident moving the ball, and they ran the ball well. That was the key because Pacheco actually looked good in this game. The run blocking was good for the Chiefs.
Yeah. I was very impressed by what I saw from the O-line. Like, you know, I tweeted this out last night. Like, the Chiefs would have been fine if Jalen Moore would have been the starter based on how he performed last night. I mean, he had a lot of snaps against Aiden Hutchinson, one of the best pass rushers in the league. And, I mean, he did fine against him. Obviously, Hutchinson had a good game. He was able to generate pressure, but he wasn't wrecking the game.
Well, that's what he does. They move him from the left to the right. They look for mismatches, and they went after Jalen Moore, but there's a few times where Jalen Moore would spin. He'd spin with Boldinger. Brian Boldinger put a great breakdown on. He shows Jalen, you know, blocking him. Then Aiden spun. Jalen would spun right back to him. So it was cool. It was cool to see him have that kind of success.
Yeah.
And but then I had his kid that day. I mean, he was sleeping in a hospital room
the
night before, and he didn't practice with the ones all week because it's kind of a last-minute thing for him starting. But, you know, props to him. Props to him for being ready. I mean, that's the mark of the Chiefs. Guys are ready. So if your name is called, you are ready because you're expected to be ready. There's no training wheels with this team. You're expected to be ready, and he was.
Yeah. Shout out to his preparation going into the game for sure.
When you're buying Trent Williams all that time, stuff starts stinking in.
Yeah, and you could definitely see. You saw the athleticism on display. Like, yeah, no, I. We see why they wanted him, and we see why he was someone that that I think they had a level of confidence in. You know, it just happened that Joshua Simmons fell to them when he did, and they were like, we can't miss this. So, but I think right now what we see is, you know, if Jalen Moore, if he were to be in a situation where he had an elongated stretch playing left tackle or even right tackle, I think he'd be fine.
It's a very good weapon to have. And they would even trust him a guard, to be honest with you. But I think they're satisfied with their guards. I think they like Caliendo, their guard. Wanye Morris, you know, role player depth as far as that's concerned. But clearly they value Jalen Moore appropriately better than that.
Yeah, and it makes sense, too, because as much as we do, you know, we can appreciate, you know, what Wanye is able to do with his length and whatnot. I mean, Jalen Moore has looked better on tape, and Jalen Moore certainly looked better in this game going up against one of the better pass rushers in the league. So I was impressed with what I saw overall. The deep ball being back, something that they've been really working to establish, especially with Tyquan Thornton and Xavier Worthy. The Lions were backed up the whole game.
Tyquan played like 17 snaps, but they didn't.
I mean, they respected him every time he went deep, and they respected Xavier Worthy every time he went deep. And they started running a lot more zone coverage in this game because, like, initially they wanted to run a lot more man, but as they went along, a lot more zone in the game, and you start to see Travis Kelce start to eat, which, you know, if Kelce's starting to eat, you know they're running tons of zone coverage there. And, you know, he was able to get a lot of opportunities there. And it makes me excited about what will happen this coming Sunday when you get Rashee Rice back. Rashee Rice is a Travis Kelce clone, and you add him into this offense, and you got legitimate deep threats down the field with Hollywood, with Tyquan, with X, and then you add Rashee and Kelce underneath. Like, whatever you run, I mean, you're going to have somebody there that can kill you.
Sprinkling some Tyquan so you can keep those three guys under 4-3 out there at times.
Yeah, so it's like it's going to be tough for defensive coordinators now, because you have to respect the deep ball now, which is something you haven't needed to respect the last couple of years. Now you do, and because you're having to respect that deep ball, it's going to be tougher for you to stop the underneath stuff that they like to run. And that's only going to make them more dangerous. And, you know, especially as Breshard Smith starts to get more acclimated into the offense and get more carries, more touches, especially in the passing game. Man, I mean, the underneath game is going to be a lot better, I think, because teams are going to have to be backed up because they're respecting the deep ball.
100%. It was good to see. And also, you know, imposing their will with the ground game. I mean, that was key with Pacheco getting those yards. Kareem Hunt, you know, I'm sure he'll be on angry runs this week, or should be.
He ran over a corner.
Yeah, Rocky Sin. I always liked Rocky Sin, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, Rocky Sin was a guy that I was looking at them potentially drafting a few years ago. So, but yeah, no, I would expect him to be on angry runs for sure. One guy that is definitely starting to see, even though last week he didn't get a lot of usage, Noel Williams, rookie corner out of Cal, third round pick, did only play 4 snaps last week. Really weird choice for them to do that, considering how important it is to have good man cover guys. This week they decided to play him more this week, and he looked a lot better, and they looked a lot better on defense because they did a much better job, I think, of playing on the receivers. Yes, the receivers ate a little bit. Like, Amon-Ra St. Brown had a pretty good game. Jameson Williams had a good game, but like, everything that they were having to do was underneath. Like,
you want to match the physicality, you got to play Noel Williams. And you know, first game, no snaps on defense. Keep in mind, he's got a, you know, 15 to 20 special team snap all the time, so he is playing.
He is still a four-phase
out there. Yeah, first game against the Chargers, 0 snaps. And then the second game, 8 snaps, losses. Right, then 19 and 20 snaps when they face the Giants in Baltimore, wins for the Chiefs. Then it goes back down to 4, like he said, against the Jags, up to a season high 21 snaps against the Detroit Lions that came in scoring, 52, 38, 37, and 34 in their last 4 games. So, yeah, despite their injuries on defense in the secondary, that offense is just fine.
Yeah, the offense is really good, and they did not look really good against the Chiefs' defense. And that is without the Chiefs really dominating them with pressure. But the big thing they did was, and we say this all the time, is like, they've never been an elite run defense, but when they need to stop you, they do stop you, or at least slow you down to where you're not confident that the run game is going to be effective. We saw that against the 49ers in the Super Bowl the second time they played. We've seen that every time they play the Ravens. The Ravens always are scared of running the football, and so they start throwing a bunch. We saw it. Obviously, we saw that earlier, a few weeks ago when they played them. And it's just like we hear this all the time. It's like, if you run the football and you control the ball, you can beat the Chiefs. And we just saw the Lions try to do that. And that's what they like to do. And it didn't work because the Chiefs were able to get stops in the run game when they needed to. And then in the pass game, they make it tough because early downs, you're not getting those chunk plays all the time like you're used to. And that's a problem for a team.
Saw Omer Nermalot get some snaps on defense. They put him there, you know, to shore up that defensive line at certain times. You saw Norman Lott in the game. There were some positive things for the rookies so far in that game. And I don't remember. Do you remember the snap count on Gelati in this one?
I don't. I don't remember seeing him a lot out there, though.
See, I'm looking at the snap counts now. Bosa only had special teams snaps.
Which I don't know if he's taken very many of any defensive snaps thus far.
Noel Williams, the 21, as we said. Gelati had 17.
Okay.
So he ended up with 17 snaps in that game. And
I would imagine most of those are early down, run defense, because that's more so his specialty.
Nermalot had 11.
Yeah, which, you know, coming off the shoulder, yeah, that's not shocking at all. One thing I think we could both agree on, defensive line still needs more help. The Chiefs basically right now are, like, occasionally they can get pressure with four if Chris Jones is able to get loose. Occasionally Carl Loftus will be able to get loose and get pressure. And he is one of the top pressure guys in the league overall. But he is not one of these guys that is just getting clean, quick, decisive wins that often. It's generally a coverage-type sack where he's able to push his guy back and he gets a little bit more time because coverage is good downfield. And then eventually, because of his high motor, he gets free and gets to the quarterback. A lot of times when they try to step up. So it's not quick pressure from Carl Loftus. And you know, we talked about this a lot in the offseason, like, you know, got to get more pass rush. They did. They addressed that with Norman Lott. They got Gelati as well. But, I mean, defensive tackle, still a need for them this year. I think that's probably their top need going into the draft next year.
Defensive tackle, that's early. Go early on that one. Running back, mid-rounds, I think, would be okay with that. And right. Tight end.
Depends on what's out there. It's not a
for
great.
For high-quality tight end.
It's not a great. Yeah.
And most great, there's not great tight ends this class, but most of the good ones, probably second-rounders. So if that's when they want to take a dive at getting that, maybe a running back in the later rounds, but the first pick, don't mind defensive tackle at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think that
becomes a real pressing need, to be honest with you.
Right, and especially when you watch like Chris Jones, because like Chris Jones, I think, is starting to show his age a little bit in terms of the stamina. Because what is he, like 31, I think?
He's playing a lot of snaps because he has to.
Right.
Like, they're out there. I mean, he is getting worked. And, you know, those nine-minute drives don't help either.
Right, yeah. And you could definitely tell he was gassed at the end of that drive. Like, I think there was a timeout called on the, you know, when they were at the goal line. He was tired. And I get
he was bleeding down on that.
And as soon as he got to the bench, they had the oxygen mask on. I get it, man. I respect it. But, like, you got to get some more help for him on the interior. He's getting doubled more than I think anybody right now in the league at defensive tackle. And it's like, if you're going to have
that. He leads
that,
away in that.
Yeah.
And he got injured a little bit there, had to put that sleeve on his elbow.
Yeah, he had to put the sleeve on. So it's like, let's get him some help on the interior. Because, like, I like Norman Lott. I think he's being miscast. But I think you need another defensive tackle, too, just because you got to think about the future of your line. So, yeah, I would absolutely like to see them go out there and get another dog at the end of the first round and, you know, see if they can get after it again in the pass rush.
Defensive
so they don't
tackles in this draft, definitely, there's quality defense. Usually that would be in the first round. If they pick towards the end of the first round, like they have been doing lately, I would get it there. Tight end, I do think it's necessity. Yeah, Noah Gray, he's the backup tight end. He's going to do his thing. But you're not seeing any production from Wiley yet. You know, and Brenningstuhl's been, you know, you won't see him really till next year.
If we see him, he might be a Justin Ross again.
But I do think they need to make a move in that direction. But again, first round, I think will be defensive tackle. Corner, you got Noel Williams. That's going to be one of your starters next year. Jalen will be a free agent, so they're going to have to figure that out.
I mean, I'd like probably about the same window that they took Noel, third,
and
fourth
round.
And they
had good luck with later round corner. Jalen was a seventh round pick.
Yep, Jalen was a seventh round pick. I mean, Josh Williams is a fourth round pick. They got good value out of him. I mean, look, they know how to kind of hit the bargain bin and get corners. So I'm not really concerned about the corner picks because there's a lot of good corner options in this draft, and certainly, you know, we can, you know, I think there's going to be some options for them because, man, like, corners are starting to get a lot bigger now.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot more options that they have. But, yeah, defensive tackle for sure first. I'm not quite as big on tight end just because I Rashee Rice and whatnot. And also I think I just don't think it's a good tight end class to where I'd be looking at second round right now.
And Kenyon Sadiq and Eli Stowers, I think, could help your team.
Right, but I don't know.
I
don't know if the high end is there, though. Like, they're not high volume guys. Like, the only high volume tight end I can think of right now is Michael Trigg at Baylor. So
I think Sadiq at Oregon could be very viable in the NFL.
Possible. But, like, again, you're betting on the talent more than the production. And that's the thing that concerns me is, like, you're kind of rolling the dice
there. Kenyon's 25 receptions this year. Eli Stowers around 23, 25,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's just not like high volume for – and most tight ends aren't high volume anyway in college.
Just getting the ball.
Yeah. So, but injuries is not – I don't think he's doing what Gunnar Helm was doing last year, though.
No.
Because Gunnar Helm led his team in receptions. Injuries is not going to lead his team in receptions.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be close. But he is also averaging a lot of yards per reception because he usually gets – 15, 20 yards when he catches it because he's more of a downfield guy. I mean, there's options there. I just don't know if there's a...
He had two catches, 4 yards against OU.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's just not high volume. So, for me, I'm not a huge fan of this tight end class. I do think there's talent. I do like Sadiq. I do like Stowers. I like Trigg. It's just...
Max Clair, good game.
Clair's another option there for Ohio State. Yeah. I just don't see... I don't know if it's worth using the high.
There's no Bowers or Tyler Warren in this class.
No, and like to me, if there isn't
even Colson Loveland,
if there's not even a Dalton, because you know, like Dalton Kincaid was a good option late in the first round. If there's not that, I don't know if I'm really using a high pick on a tight end because it's a position that you can bust on really quick in the draft. Like you can mess that up really easy. I mean, the Bears might have done it with Colson Loveland because. They had Tyler Warren sitting there.
And Cole Kmet's really getting their action.
And they're already paying Cole Kmet, and now you got another tight end. You could have had Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren is having a really nice start to his rookie year, and you know you decided you were going to go Colson Loveland.
Clair was 4 for 38 in that game.
But yeah.
Again, they're loaded at wide receiver.
Yeah, so but Clair's also not high volume. Yeah. Though. He's got much better options there. So let's get to our Week 7 recap. Starting off. News, Drew Aller, quarterback for Penn State, out for the year, ankle injury suffered this past weekend. Also, his head coach, or former head coach now, James Franklin, he was fired this past weekend after they lost their second straight.
Third straight.
Third straight, actually. Yeah, and they lost to Oregon, too.
But they're the first team since 78 that went FBS and FCS split. To lose back-to-back games where they were favored by over 20 points.
So right, so this
it
is...
It was a pretty big deal. I had heard it had to do with shoe contracts and everything because they're switching.
I don't believe
they were
going
to pick up that $49 million. He's getting $49 million to go away. Second highest to Jimbo Fisher, 76. That's significant.
Right. I don't believe the shoe contract thing. I think it was because he has a terrible record against top 10 teams. They blew a game at home. Like, that was a very winnable game
lost,
at home.
Two of these three-game losing streaks have been home games.
Right, yeah, but I'm talking about, like, you had Oregon at home, winnable game.
It was a double overtime game.
Double overtime. All you had to do was go down. You held them to a field goal. Go down, score a touchdown. You win at home against a top-five team in your conference. That's a huge win for your program.
Northwestern ended him.
And it's just like, after that, you spiraled. You lose on the road at UCLA to a team that already fired their coach.
And you knew it was going to happen. He was just sitting there looking around. Like he was just standing there staring like out at the field. And it was almost like he knew what was going to happen.
And then when you lose this past weekend, like, yeah, Like, I think that's the reason why he got fired.
Take your $49 million and go work for Big Ten Network.
Because they've been calling for his head in Happy Valley for years.
Like, take his $49 million and go in the media for a while.
Yeah, so he's going to be good. He's going to be living good. He's going
to be Jimboing. Jimbo's at the ACC Network.
He's going to be on somebody's pregame show. I think he probably gets another coaching job at some point. He's going to be on somebody's
pregame. He's going to take that buyout first.
Oh, yeah, but he's going to be on somebody's pregame show. And he's going to be living large after that. So, but yeah, so that happened. So at this point now, I mean, really, to be honest, probably not a whole lot of Penn State watch list games left because they're falling apart. I do want to start, though, with Oregon took on Indiana. Top 10 matchup here. Indiana goes into Eugene, pulls off the upset.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Upset. 30 to 20.
Hey, Cignetti, another guy that's being, you know, obviously targeted by Penn State.
He's definitely going to be targeted by a lot of coaches.
Like the highest odds. Matt Rhule, highest odds. But, yeah. But Indiana, 1-72 against top five teams. 1-72. This is their first road win against the top five team. And the one thing about Indiana is this has not always been roses for Indiana. They were the first one to hit 700 losses, the first FBS team. They have the FBS record with 715 losses, right? But things change. Cignetti, man, he brought in a whole new culture at team. They go out and get that Mendoza as your quarterback. It's a first-round quarterback. I think they have three draftable receivers on this team. But, yeah, Indiana, props to them for going out and playing tough physical football and kind of dispelling that whole myth because East Coast teams have not had a lot of luck on the West Coast and vice versa. But didn't seem to bother Indiana. That was just a hard-fought win for them. Very, very impressive because they were going against the Heisman favorite quarterback at the time, and Dante Moore.
Yeah, really talented Oregon roster. Dan Lanning's done a great job of building that team up. But yeah, you brought up Fernando Mendoza. He had 215 passing yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Elijah Surratt, the receiver you talked about a lot last week, 121 yards and a touchdown in this game.
He's climbing lists, man. 6'2". I mean, he's on the radar.
Yeah, the Heisman favorite, as you brought up, Dante Moore. Didn't have a great game. 186 passing yards, a touchdown, two picks in the game. So definitely a down performance for them. This is huge for Indiana because, like, remember last year, we were watching that Ohio State-Indiana game together, And like we both knew is like Indiana having a nice year, but getting going to get dominated on the line of scrimmage against a team as talented as Ohio State. And they did. They got pushed around. They put up a fight, but they got pushed around.
They're going to the playoffs, man. If you look, here's this reigning schedule, Chris. Michigan State, UCLA, Maryland, Penn State, Wisconsin, Purdue. I mean, that is a very, very favorable schedule for
Indiana.
Very
favorable. So you definitely look at them as you know, I think at this point now, unless they something falls apart, they're in the Big Ten championship.
I mean, they're 26.5-point favorites this week against Michigan State. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they win out, they go even if they lose in the Big Ten championship.
They'd be favored
game,
every single game remaining. They moved up to three.
I don't know if they'd be favored in the Big Ten championship game, but
the regular season.
But the regular season, yes. But let's say they went out and they lose the Big Ten championship game, they're probably still getting into
the playoff. Well, they're at Penn State. That looked like it was a lot bigger matchup, clearly.
Yeah,
until
it
we saw it.
It's not that anymore.
No.
It is not, especially without Aller, too. Yeah, I mean, at this point now, yeah, it's probably safe to say that they're a lock for the playoff unless things just go off the rails there. Ole Miss hosted Washington State, barely won the game, won by 3, 24-21. Trinidad Chambliss, the quarterback transfer from what the hell was the name of that school that he played at?
Ferris State. National champion Ferris State.
He went for 253, two touchdowns. He also had 15 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown in that game. So Chambliss seems to be the guy there, and we'll see what he's able to do. We'll see if he can improve his draft stock.
Lost to Pittsburgh State last year to Trinidad Chambliss. Yep. He finished third in the Heartland Hill, which is like the Division II Heisman.
Florida took on Texas A&M, and the game was pretty hard fought for the first three quarters. In the fourth quarter, A&M pulled away. But, man, Cassius Howell, he had a sack in this game. Casey Conception was able to make his presence known in the passing game a little bit, in the return game as well. So liked what I saw from them. Red River rivalry game, Oklahoma and Texas. Texas pulls off the upset against the sixth-ranked Sooners there. John Mateer played in this game, man, and I think it was a terrible idea. He was 20 of 38 for 202, three picks in this game. Did not look good passing the football in this
Oklahoma
game.
Number two in pass defense, number one in total defense. We saw him sack Jackson Arnold 10 times. They get to the quarterback like crazy, right? One sack against Arch. Mateer was sacked 5 times.
Yeah.
And he threw 3 picks. I mean, this, Texas beat Oklahoma back-to-back years, first time since 08-09. I mean, this had Oklahoma all over it. Especially, this was by far the best defense Arch Manning had faced.
By far. It was not a good game. I mean, Arch didn't play great in this game. He only had 166 passing yards and a passing touchdown and 34 rushing yards. So, like, let's not go out here and act like he had a good game. But, man, Texas came and showed up to try and pull off a big upset, and they did. I don't think it was a good idea for John Mateer to play.
No.
I think this was a bad choice. Now he's got tape where he's throwing with a broken hand.
I
he's
thought
got
this
three
defense might carried him through, and they did all right, you know, going the backup route. But yeah, Mateer, he would think the perfect storm with him coming back. That defense at Oklahoma, it just did not materialize.
Yeah, I mean, he was getting harassed the whole game. Colin Simmons, the Longhorns edge rusher, 2.5 sacks.
And props to Arch. I mean, not a great game, 166 in this game. But you know what? I mean,
he managed the hell out of.
He
this
needed
game.
To. This is a big game to win. You're playing nation's number one defense. Tough non-conference game, neutral site. Yeah, it doesn't mean he's going to draft this year because he's not. But it's good for – this is not Sam Houston State. You know, this is a good win for him.
It's a good win. It was not a good performance.
Because he struggled. He struggled against Florida's defense. I thought Oklahoma's game fits.
He had a major problem. And Florida, it wasn't like – they were just killing him with the way that they were playing coverage. He was missing throws and just gifting them picks. Like, bad decisions. Like, it was almost like he didn't respect their defense, and they burned him when he didn't. So
he was decent on the ground and everything, Arch, but big game for him.
Yeah. Alabama, Mizzou, got a top 15 matchup here. Bama goes up to Como, pulls off a 3-point victory there.
As they're doing the construction there at Faurot Field. So it looks a little weird not having the rock wall there.
First top 15 matchup in Como since 1979 when the Tigers lost to the University of Texas. Chris, I think, here's the deal. And I'm all about celebrating, man. I'm all about it. But celebrate with your teammates. Like, I like when Kareem Hunt and Mahomes are headbutting and stuff there, right? But they're calling this a lot now, unless you're Arch Manning posing and flexing in front of a Sam Houston guy after running over him. But they're calling taunting at all. This game, really, they didn't give Ahmad Hardy the ball very much. Just 12 carries in this game. Deserved much, much more than this. Hard-fought game. But really, when Missouri scores that touchdown, and then they were stopping Alabama, they made an incredible play on the corner, pushing two guys and the receiver to a five-yard loss, right? That was going to be setting up for a third and 15. And here comes Zion. Not even in the play.
And Zion had a good game. He had a really good game.
But he wasn't even in the play. He comes over there and flexes. It's like, dude, it wasn't even your play. And you know what happened is? Unsportsmanlike, 15 yards. And you know what happens when you give free outs in baseball?
They score.
You know what Alabama did?
They scored.
And Missouri's momentum at this point, if they kick back to Missouri, then Missouri finds their way down there. That could have been a different game. But again, these guys got to watch the taunting, man, because it depends on the crew you're getting. But it's not worth chancing. It's not, because you're wasting a really, really good play that your team. That was a great defensive play Missouri had, and that took all the momentum out of them. But I think Alabama is the top team in the SEC, to be honest with you. And Ty Simpson, number two in the Heisman odds at this point. Ty Simpson's incredibly accurate. He's been a good quarterback. Both he can move on his feet and with the run. But Ty Simpson, Ty Simpson's going to be a pro quarterback. Don't know if he's going to go this year or not, or wait, but Ty Simpson's going to be a pro quarterback.
Yeah, I do think he'll make it to the league. I don't know what the upside is right now, because, like, I don't see spectacular arm strength with him. I think he can play in the
league.
It's
a Carson Beck situation. You need more time.
I mean, I need to see more from him. I don't think he should go this year. Like, I don't think he should go this year. I want to see more, though. I think is he a senior? He's a senior, right?
Ty Simpson Jr.
No, I'm talking about so he's a junior. Okay. I don't think he should go this year, because I haven't seen enough from him in the games I've watched.
This is his first year starting, because he was a backup last year.
So I was like, I got to see more. Because, like, right now he's executing their offense well, but I'm not seeing the NFL-type throws that he needs to make. He did have one that was really nice.
One thing about him, though, he's been extremely, extremely accurate.
Yeah, that's the thing, is he does have good accuracy.
And he's got the size.
The arm strength concerns me a little bit. He did have that one throw on that fourth down where he put it right on the sidelines there for his receiver. Perfect catch for where only his guy could have got it. And, that was a real clutch play there when they scored that last touchdown.
Redshirt Junior.
Yeah, so Richard. So, yeah, I think he should stay another year.
Well, he's getting his chance to start. And oftentimes when guys are getting that first real chance to play all year, it takes him 2 years. Now, let's say he had, started five games last year and, like, four the year before, something like that. Big difference.
If he had more time.
But this is his first year starting, so I could see him going back, but man, he's loaded in. He's got Ryan Williams another year. So
yeah, I want to see another year of Ty. I'm not ready to put him in the first round. Some people will. I'm not ready to put him in the first round conversation. But LT Overton is
he's a 5-star prospect coming in high school. Yeah. By the way, I mean, he comes in with all of the accolades. Right. He just went to Alabama. Props to him. He stayed at Alabama. He didn't hit the portal when he could have, but he didn't do it.
Yeah, LT Overton, 1.5 sacks. Had a good game there. I liked what I saw from the two edge rush prospects in here. South Carolina took on LSU, 20-10 win for the Tigers here. Lenora Sellers, we talk about all the time. It's like he has up and down games. He's really good one game and he's not.
That's a guy that needs to come back.
This was a down year.
I think
down,
he needs to come
this
back,
was
don't
a down
you?
Game for him.
His quarterback class started to look thinner. Pro scouts love him. Pro scouts do love him.
You know what I'd like to see is I'd like to see him transfer. Because I don't think South Carolina is the choice for him. If Lenora Sellers played at LSU or Florida or any schools that have, like, a lot of weapons, I think he'd be awesome. Well, maybe not Florida now because Billy Napier. But if they had a good coach, I think, because Florida's got, like, two really, really awesome freshman receivers.
We'll see if he stays now. But again, if he goes this year, this quarterback class is starting to thin out, man.
Yeah, I think Sellers probably goes because I kind of feel like someone's going to be like, this guy's super talented. You got to take him in the first round and just make him a project guy. Because I don't think he should be a starter immediately. I think he's got too many holes in his game. But from a talent standpoint, I think he's the best quarterback in this class. And so I like
Mendoza is, but
I'll take Sellers over Mendoza. I like Mendoza, but I'll take Sellers over him. But man, he just has these up and down games where he has a really good game. And we are like, okay, this guy is it. And then he has a game like this, 124 yards and a pick. And it's like, what were you doing? And he didn't, the pick that he threw wasn't good. Probably should have thrown other picks. And it just didn't look like, it didn't look like he really understood like what they were doing half the time. And then, you know, on the other sideline, Garrett Nussmeier had a better game from a yardage standpoint, 254 passing yards, two touchdowns, two picks, 30 rushing yards and a fumble. But like the two picks he threw were dumb picks. Like one of them, he didn't set his feet when he was throwing, overthrew his receiver right to the safety. And then the other one, they ran an RPO in at the goal line and the route got jumped by the safety. And it was like, how did you not see the safety sitting there on that RPO?
He's got another big one this week, Vandy.
Is that Vandy and LSU,
I think, at 11 o'clock.
Are they a great defense? Like,
no, it's a good opponent.
It's a ranked opponent for sure. I don't know how long Vandy's going to be ranked.
Nussmeier needs to stack good games.
He needs to. And this wasn't a good one. This wasn't a great performance from him. But he did have some throws where it's like, I see why it seems.
But Brian Kelly's got some quarterbacks, man. Yeah. Jaden Daniels, he's just start winning games.
I mean, it's LSU.
His quarterbacks have been elite, man.
I mean, LSU always has good quarterbacks, man. They like even when it was Orgeron, you had Joe Burrow. You know, it's like Les Miles had some good quarterbacks. They were like Matt Flynn and Jamarcus Russell when he was in college. Like they've always had good quarterbacks there. It's just, you know, not all these guys, they have talent. They just don't transition very well to the league. I see it with Nussmeier. I just don't think that he's ready. And I think you can tell in this game, this was a perfect example. One guy, though, I was impressed by was Mansoor Delane, the corner there. He had a great game. He was awesome. Like, he was so good in this game. And I'm like, man, if the Chiefs could get him.
And he was great at the tackling.
Great at the tackling. Great man coverage.
Physical.
Very physical. Like, when I think of if somehow the Chiefs could get their hands on him in the draft this year, I think he's probably a second-round pick, maybe a first-round pick.
Could make his way in the first of the combine.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be big. It's like what he does at the combine will be really huge for him, especially as a man cover guy. Man, if he looks good, it's going to be tough for them to get him, but if he's available in like round two, oh man. Even if you got to trade up a little bit to go get him, go get him. I'm a big fan of Mansoor Delane. Michigan took on USC down in the LA area, and USC pulled off the upset 31-13.
East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah.
It's refreshing, but your two guys, Miami's. Man, he's climbing some charts, man.
I like what I see. I want to see more. I'm not first round on this guy. I like the arm talent, though. And I like his ball placement. I like where he puts it. Like, he finds the right spots. Him and Mekhi Lemon have really, really good chemistry. He does. He looks for number 9. Oh, there you are.
And he finds Lemon.
He puts it in the perfect spot for him. And Lemon, to me, is just like, he's like, he reminds me a lot of Romo Odunze, but he's more physical than Romo Odunze is. Odunze was like a route technician. Mekhi Lemon is a very physical possession style guy who can beat you down the field too. But he's one of those guys that just goes up and gets the ball. I love Mekhi Lemon. He might be my favorite receiver in this class, even though I think there's other receivers that are more talented than he is. I just think the skill that he showcases in route running and at the catch point, man, he's probably my favorite one. So that's it for our recap of week 7. Let's get to our money makers here. Are you putting an underclassman watch list on this thing now?
You know what?
What are you
I'll
doing?
Get to it.
I didn't
I'll
even
get,
see this.
I just I added it. This. I just added it because I really wanted to put
I
it
on. I have like 5 players I would add to this every week.
You know what, though?
Players.
There's a reason. There's a reason. Because this dude, we'll get to it.
What are you doing?
Beat you my underclassmen watch list. First, you would do Moneymakers first.
You're doing this, man. All right. So,
because I know that we can't put them on here technically yet.
You just did, though.
I did.
You just did. What are you doing?
I put an underclassmen watch list.
Stop breaking the rules. This is the last time we're doing this. No more it is.
But he deserved it, man.
No more it is. So my first moneymaker is Texas Tech edge rusher David Bailey. He's been climbing up charts here recently. I've been hearing a lot of hype for him potentially being a first-round edge rusher.
The defensive line for Tech is no joke anymore.
Yeah, Tech's got some good players. It's not just him, but you got Baron Morton as well, their quarterback. A lot of people like him. Some people think he's the best quarterback in the class.
And he gets hurt again, and Will Hammond's, telling you, underclassman watch list, Will Hammond's quarterback at Texas.
No more of that. But David Bailey, edge rusher for the Red Raiders, 3 sacks in this game against KU. Dude, this kid's really good.
He is.
He's really good.
Again, that whole defensive line impresses me.
He's really good. And
Tech's no longer just the wide receivers and quarterback.
Yeah, it's not just the air raid offense anymore. They're actually doing something there.
They're playing defense.
And David Bailey's a guy to look out for in the draft. He might be one of those guys. He might end up kind of like Mike Green, where he goes to the Senior Bowl and he just kills it. He just has a great – and obviously with Mike Green, he had character concerns off the field that hurt his draft stock, dropped him all the way to, what was it, round 2 or 3 that he fell. But a lot of people thought he was going to be like a mid to late first round edge rusher. I think David Bailey's going to be in that. He could very well be in that category there where he's a potential late first round edge rusher because of what he shows in the pre-draft process and on tape. So I really like David Bailey. He's my very first moneymaker for the week.
Mine is Elijah Surratt.
Of course.
And if people aren't paying attention to this guy, man, it's a big reason why Indiana's moved up to 3 in the country. I mean, this passing attack, again, with E.J. Williams there and Omar Cooper, Elijah Surratt, those wide receivers at Indiana are worth paying attention to. And then him be the running back. But this team can play, man. And he's a big reason why. But another solid performance against a top 10 team when he goes out there to Oregon. But definitely, there wasn't a lot of huge numbers for guys this week. You know, and the numbers were kind of down. But he kind of stood out in how well he played. I mean, he was very noticeable how good he was at Oregon.
You're right. Not a crazy receiver week. I mean, when I was going through the box scores,
these guys didn't do nothing. Honestly, I think Surratt was one of the better ones.
He probably was the best one this week as far as receivers go. Not an impressive week for receivers. My second moneymaker, LSU cornerback Mansoor Delane, really impressed me in man coverage here. And it's just like, you know, it's like now that, you know, we obviously, you know, we watch the film and whatnot. We know what the Chiefs like and their tendencies. Dude, if Mansoor Delane were sitting there late in the second round and the Chiefs had the option to take him there, I mean, I don't think they could turn that card in fast enough.
Yeah.
Like, he's a perfect fit for what the Chiefs are looking for at outside corner. And I think that when you think about the future of this team on defense, you know, I think we're in agreement. Trent McDuffie probably gets paid within the next year. So let's say that happens. You got Noel Williams going into year 2 of his rookie deal. If you were to somehow get Mansoor Delane to play the other side to replace Jalen Watson, man, you can feel really good about the secondary.
Plug and place
for the
draft because you can't give everybody those second contracts.
Right. Like, I think you'd feel a lot more
confident. And McDuffie's deal's coming.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Within the next year, I think McDuffie gets paid. So it's like you want to have some good rookie contract corners because you're probably not. I mean, maybe you bring back Jalen Watson on a 1-year deal because he doesn't get a big offer, but maybe he also gets one of those middle class corner contracts like Charvarius Ward did a few years ago. I think there's certainly a lot of options there, but, you know, Mansoor Delane, man, if he's sitting there late second round, man, I don't know how you could pass him up there with what he's shown on tape. Who's your second moneymaker?
Byron Brown. Brought him up before, but USF, interesting story. They are blown away Boise State at the beginning of the year, but he was very accurate. 22 of 28, 3 touchdown passes, adds 82 yards on the ground. This was a wild game with North Texas and USF. North Texas was undefeated.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The commanding lead, then here comes USF, ends up being a blowout towards USF. But
yeah,
Byron Brown
dropped like 63.
Well, Byron Brown's a very good dual threat quarterback, and you know, scouts do like him. I mean, he's got a lot of intangibles that people do like, and he just wins. But he's an incredible thrower, and he's great on the ground as well. So he gets my second moneymaker. All right, so I put an underclassman watch list. But dude, Cameron Dickey, this running back, 5'10".
He's really good.
5'10", 215. All right, this guy had a 263 yards rushing. Like, it's hard to overlook a guy going for 263 on the ground, especially when he has 55 and a 71-yard touchdown. He's second in the Big 12 in rushing at this point. Again, when we're looking at that next draft class, man, with these great receivers that we're looking at, Cameron Dickey's going to get some run. Like, Ahmad Hardy's going to be that class, Cameron Dickey. I mean, we already know the wide receiver class is building up for that draft in Washington, D.C., but look out for these running backs as well. And I know you're not wild about underclassmen watch list. Normally, I wouldn't do it, but 263 yards get you on that list, Chris, with breakaway speed, man. He was just breaking away. Well, and by the way, Texas Tech, by the way, we talked about him earlier, number one defense in the Big 12 now.
Well, if we're doing we're just going to break the rules type situation, and one guy underclassman is Tre'Dez Green, tight end for LSU. That's an Andy Reid guy. He's 6'7". He's a basketball player. We know how Andy feels about the basketball.
Right.
Yeah, we know how Andy Reid is about those former basketball players playing tight end.
Hey, rules are meant to be broken. This is a podcast.
This is the only time we're going to do this.
We make the rules.
This is the only time we're going to do this.
We make the rules.
I make the rules.
I make the rules.
It's the only time we're going to do this. Tre'Dez Green at LSU. That kid is an Andy Reid tight end.
I agree.
He loves the super athletic guys. This is a basketball player. Plays for LSU's basketball team. Two, he's a true sophomore. He's 6'7", and he was a red zone monster for LSU.
He catches everything,
he
man.
He catches it.
He's like palms balls, man.
He led them in receiving this past weekend when they played against South Carolina. He's really good. And, you know, I think that when you look at if, because like I said, I don't know if the successor to Travis Kelce, the tight end position, is in this draft class. Maybe 27, though. Maybe Tre'Dez Green is the guy.
Hey, I'm telling you, man, this draft is already loading up for now. I cannot wait for next year.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Like, I like the 26 class.
I do, too. I'm really
looking
for that.
I love the 27 class.
I mean, Jeremiah Smith, Ryan Williams.
Yeah, the 27 class is going to be so good.
And his running back just lighted up too. Like I said, Cameron Dickey and Ahmad Hardy.
Will probably be better. Like if DJ Lagway can get it together, like yeah. He's a potential first round quarterback. There's a lot of options in that 27 class. I like this 26 class, but the 27 class. Man. So let's get to the watch list for week 8. We actually have a Friday primetime game that you guys should be watching because usually the Friday matchups are not that great.
You talking about Nebraska, Minnesota?
No. No. We're talking about Louisville and number 2, Miami. Maybe a first round quarterback in Carson Beck. He's going to be.
You know what? I didn't think so going into the year, but the way these quarterbacks are falling.
I mean, if a team. We talked about this last year. There are teams out there that really like Carson Beck. They like the arm talent there. I'm not the biggest fan of Carson Beck. I understand why they like him. I don't think he's an NFL starting quarterback.
I think the scouts are there watching Reuben Bain, and they just happen to see Carson Beck.
I mean, they liked him last year, but Reuben Bain, definitely a guy to look out for as well. Reuben Bain's good. He's really
edge
good.
Rusher.
Very good edge rusher. And also they got a tackle in Francis Maui-Goa.
He's playing Morley on the right side.
Yeah, which is perfect for the Chiefs because the Chiefs could use a right tackle. So
he's been just on the right side this year, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's just been right side. Which there was Maui-Goa was kind of bounced around because like there was thoughts that he might be a guard, thoughts he might be a left tackle, but he's on the right, which is perfect for the Chiefs. So maybe we're looking at the next future right tackle for the Chiefs. We'll see. Then Saturday, you got some matchups. Good matchups here. Starting with the Saturday morning slate, you got LSU taking on Vanderbilt. This is a ranked matchup. 10 and 17. Obviously, you're going to watch Garrett Nussmeier, see what he can do. Aaron Anderson's been hurt, but
which I think is important too. Again, fill slots before the Chiefs draft.
Yeah. Aaron Anderson's been hurt, but you know, if he plays, super talented receiver, best receiver they got. Barrion Brown is another one I like. He's probably a late round receiver, but don't be shocked if he gets into the league
Kentucky
and he's like a
transfer.
DeMarcus. Yeah, Kentucky transfer, guy we liked last year. Don't be surprised if he's like a DeMarcus Robinson type on day 3. Goes in, bounces around, plays for a few teams, gives you some good years there. Whit Weeks and Harold Perkins, two linebackers that they got on the defensive side. And obviously Mansoor Delane, one of my moneymakers this week. For Vanderbilt, one of the few tight ends you should be looking out for in this draft class is Eli Stowers. Talented, he's athletic, not super high volume though, but definitely a guy I think could be a contributor at the next level.
And he came over from New Mexico State, like the
yeah,
with
and I think he was at South Carolina before.
Yeah,
that,
but he
right?
was he went he yeah, but he came over to Vanderbilt right. with the offensive coordinator Tim Beck and with Diego.
Yeah, so he's been at a couple schools before Vandy, but you know here he is. Washington. Yeah, he was 6'6", I think. He's real big, 6'6", like almost 250. He's a real big tight end. Washington takes on Michigan. Here you got Justice Haynes, maybe the top running back in this class. And then you've got edge rusher Derek Moore and linebacker Jayshon Barham. You've got Oklahoma taking on South Carolina. So John Mateer, I do not think he should play in this game because he has a broken throwing hand. But he played last week, so
he
I think
did.
You got to assume he's going to play
picks.
This week. Terrible game from him, and he carried the ball a lot, and it didn't look good. So, but yeah, you've got John Mateer. You got Isaiah Satania, a receiver I really like. I think he would be a nice slot option for the Chiefs. Reminds me of Hollywood Brown. Like I know OU comparison to OU. He reminds me a lot of Hollywood.
He was a receiver Oklahoma snuck. Said he was going out and stayed in and scored a touchdown on Auburn.
Yeah, he's smaller, but he's very shifty, good after the catch. I like him a lot. Then you got Deion Burks, another Hollywood Brown type. I really like him. And then edge rusher R. Mason Thomas. For South Carolina, Lenora Sellers. I assume he's coming out this year. Like if as long as you've got teams that are saying, hey, we really like the talent you have. Let's bring you in and develop
you. He was talked as number one overall for a while there at the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, remember there was that survey that came out, was it like 2-3 weeks
ago?
The GMs they said they thought he was the number one quarterback. So we'll see about him, but he's super talented. Then Saturday afternoon, Ohio State, Wisconsin. Ohio State is loaded like they are every year. Carnell Tate, who's played pretty well as of late. Last week, he was really good. Max Clair, tight end we talked about, talented. Two good edge rushers in Kenyatta Jackson, Bo Atkinson. And then Caleb Downs, probably the best safety in this class. And certainly now,
he's probably going to Baltimore.
These quarterbacks are going, he might be top five.
He's probably going to Baltimore because Baltimore's going to be drafting in top five.
So. Yeah, they might. They just might be. I mean, he's
pairing with Malachi.
I mean, no.
Cal Hamilton. They have three safeties.
If you're in a draft, that makes no sense. That makes absolutely no sense to draft a third. You've used multiple first-round picks now on safety?
He's a perfect Raven, though.
He would be a perfect Raven. I mean, maybe the Raiders? Because Raiders suck. Which, you know, like I was telling people they were going to suck this year. A lot of people giving Pete Carroll way too much credit.
Or be a Titan.
He might be a Titan. I mean, that's very...
They're going to have to go somewhere else because quarterback is Cam Ward last year, so they're going to go.
Right, yeah. That might be
probably best defensive player.
That might be
maybe Caleb Downs.
It'd be interesting to see who will be the worst team in the league because there's some good candidates for worst team in the league this year. Caleb Downs will be a good addition to whoever is the worst team in the league. Ole Miss and Georgia, this is a top 10 matchup here. For Ole Miss, you got Trinidad Chambliss and Xavier Harris, the defensive tackle. For Georgia, I took some people off the list because
you took Gunner off.
I took Gunner off because he looks pedestrian. I haven't seen anything impressive. Roger Robinson II hasn't played. Zachariah Branch, he's got almost 300 receiving yards on the year, so he's still out here putting up numbers. I think at best you're talking about another Mecole Hardman mid round guy. Definitely not second round, but you know you're talking about maybe even a Chris Conley might be a better comparison. So you're talking about a third-round potential guy. Christian Miller, the defensive tackle, C.J. Allen at linebacker, and then cornerback Dalen Everett. Texas Tech taking on Arizona State. For Texas Tech, you got Baron Morton, quarterback here. Could be a dark horse for the first round.
I think Sawyer Robertson, too. When you look at Big 12 quarterbacks at Baylor, he's just airing it out crazy.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with him, but he's definitely having a good year. Edge rusher, David Bailey. I mean
– yeah. Number one defense in the country.
In the Big 12. I'm really excited for what Bailey's going to do in the pre-draft process based on what I've seen during the season. For Arizona State, we'll see about Sam Leavitt. Right now, I think he probably stays another year. But certainly got to watch out for it. Maybe he gets hot later in the year. But Jordan Tyson, his receiver, some people think he's the best receiver in this draft class.
I do. I still like Jordan Tyson way up there.
Yeah, he's really good. He's going to be a first-round receiver. So you should definitely watch him because he is definitely going to be a player that makes impacts next year on Sunday. And then Saturday primetime, you've got Tennessee versus Alabama. What do they call it? Is it the third Saturday of October is what they call the rivalry? Something like that. I remember.
Second Saturday.
Is it the second? No, it's not the second.
It'd be the third one.
It would be the third Saturday. So I don't know. Maybe it was the second Saturday back in the day and now it isn't. But you've got
Tennessee. The SEC's doing weird stuff. It's like Missouri, they're going to play at Arkansas this year and next year.
Yeah, they're doing really weird stuff with the scheduling. They need to figure it out. I don't like how they've done the scheduling since they added Texas and OU. But yeah, Tennessee, Chris Brazel at wide receiver.
Third Saturday, October.
I thought it was third Saturday. Yeah. Chris Brazel at wide receiver for the Vols. Same thing with Joshua Josephs. You know, both having good years. Brazel's, I mean, I think at this point now he looks like a first round receiver. Early second round. So, and then for Alabama, I mean, Jeremy Bernard's had a pretty good year there. Caden Proctor, man, this kid is an athlete. He had a carry on a right near the goal line.
He had a catch the week before.
Right. They gave him the ball out of the Wildcat.
And he's actually, you know,
and he looked athletic taking the carry. He jumped over a guy. He hurled the guy.
I'm telling you this, he'll be the first left tackle taken.
Yeah, I agree.
But if they do outlaw the tush push, put Caden back there, man. I'm not kidding, man. The NFL, like, you get the point. Because if they outlaw the tush push, they have to come up with more creative ideas. Let Caden carry the ball.
It wouldn't shock me. You put him in the Wildcat. Catches the snap and just bulldozes
like
his way through the
back in the day. Hungry pick right.
Yeah. So, no, Caden Proctor, dude, he's an athlete, man. He might be the most athletic
and he's
player
lost weight.
In this class. Yeah, he's lost a lot of weight, too. He's super athletic. I'll tell you this, I can't wait to see him. I'm genuinely not excited about watching offensive linemen at the combine. I'm telling you, there's going to be so many people at offensive line day.
But he wants the ball, and he actually looks normal with the ball.
Yeah.
He's big.
He looks like a ball carrier. He looks like he looks like someone that should have the ball in
his hands. They were trying to tackle him, man.
They were trying.
He's like, oh, crap.
He hurled the guy on that run play.
Caden Proctor, man.
He jumped right over him.
But he caught, but they actually threw it to him once, too. It's like, he showed his athletic ability.
Hell, and Proctor Brailsford, he showed his ability, too. He caught a tip drill pass and got a few yards there in that Mizzou game as well. Dude, yeah, they got some athletes on that team. LT Overton's another guy to look out for. He had a good last game there with a sack and a half there. I really like what they're doing. Alabama, from a talent standpoint, they got a lot of talent. USC, Notre Dame, Jordan Maiava. I mean, that's obviously going to be an easy one to look out for. And then Mekhi Lemon, my favorite receiver in this class. I think both of those guys. I want to see more from Maiava. I could see him going round two or three, but I think if he puts together a nice end of the season, second half of the season, and they make a playoff run, like because they're on the fringe right now, they're a bubble team right now. If they're able to win their way up to where they can sneak into the playoff, Maiava stock is going to shoot up.
100%.
It's going to shoot up. So. Interesting. I want to see more from him, but I like what I've seen from him. And obviously, Mekhi Lemon, yeah, my favorite guy. And then
Don't sleep on Notre Dame's quarterback. I know he's not going to be eligible this year, but CJ Carr,
yeah,
putting up some numbers for that team.
And then also Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love, another guy to look out for there.
I think CJ kind of arrived. He's going to be somebody we talked about next year, 342 in that game and two touches.
Yeah.
Not eligible this year.
Right. Which, it's funny that there's so many good players who are not eligible. This is probably the most I think I've ever seen of players who are not eligible that are probably better than guys that will be drafted this
year. Character concerns, man.
Oh, yeah.
Not sleeping on this draft. But
that 27 class, man. Whew. And then finally, Oregon and Rutgers in the Saturday primetime slot there. For Oregon, I mean, really, it's only Oregon. Dante Moore, who is one of the favorites. I don't think he's the favorite anymore now, but one of the favorites for the Heisman this year. Dante Moore, I think, could be a first-round pick at quarterback. I just think he's got to have a nice end of the season. He's got to perform well against the top teams, and he's got to have a good playoff run because I see the talent with him, but I need to see more from him in these big games like that. Did not play well this past week, so I want to see more from him, but I can see the talent there. Kenyon Sadiq, tight end we've talked about. He's going to be someone in this class. Isaiah World, one of the best tackles in this class. And then Bryce Botcher, the linebacker, and then Dylan Thieneman, the safety there. So talent's starting to shape up a little bit.
He's starting to shape up.
And the only real question I have is the quarterback class. That's the only question I have right now.
It looked extremely strong coming in the year.
And it doesn't.
Which would be helpful for the Chiefs, again, picking towards the end, get some teams taking quarterbacks. You don't want them to back off that. And, of course, we know what the Tennessee is going to do because they don't need a quarterback at this point, so they're going defense on that with the high pick.
Yeah.
And the Ravens, too, because obviously with Lamar there. So, again, you're talking about teams. You know, the Bengals, they're going to be drafting. Got high as well. They need to repair that defense. So we're already looking at all these teams that you're thinking, all right, these three teams are going to take the top defensive player available to them. When you look at the Ravens and the Bengals and you look at Tennessee.
So I think the three position groups that will go pretty high in the draft, I think work out in the Chiefs' favor. One is tackle. I think left tackle is a good tackle class, and I think that there's a lot of options there. And that will help the Chiefs out because the Chiefs are not going to be really in the market for a tackle in the first round. Like, that's maybe a right tackle project guy, but to be honest, I expect Jalen Moore to be the right tackle in 26. Yeah,
they get their tackle in Simmons.
So, I mean, I think at that point now, it's like, you know, Jalen Moore's probably your right tackle next year, and, you know, you see what happens from there. And then for the other receiver is another position. I don't think the Chiefs need to draft that high this year. And I think there's going to be, it could be 4 or 5 maybe in the first round this year.
But here's the one thing. Again, like a Torrey Horton, it goes in the fifth round. I mean, there's good receivers you can get. But, you know, Hollywood Brown is a one-year contract still, so he could be gone. Waiting to see on Jalen Royals. We haven't seen We haven't seen Jalen in this offense yet.
So not really.
You haven't seen that. So we don't know. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know what the verdict is on Jalen Royals to say one way or the other. But the Chiefs, I do feel, will be in the market for receiver as well.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I would think that if they're going to get one, it's probably late. So I think at this point, really, it's like defensive tackle. I think it's corner and running back. Those are the three priority positions to me.
I'd put tight end up there too with running back. I think you get a tight end. I would. I'm not saying mid rounds. I'm not saying fourth round up. If you can get one in the second or third, that's still a quality tight end. The tight ends, you know, kind of slip to the second round before the feeding frenzy begins for tight end. But I do think that's a position needed because if you're in the mid rounds, you're getting the Wiley again. I mean, it's kind of what you're getting. And I know Travis Kelce was third rounder and all that, but that was an asterisk. By
I think you're probably getting a Wiley regardless.
But you're not getting Kelce in the third round anymore.
I don't think you're getting any elite tight ends in this draft class. So that's the reason why I'm kind of, let's wait on that. So we're kind of getting a better feel for what this team needs. And we're a little less than an hour away from the start of this Monday Night Football doubleheader.
But they don't need a quarterback.
They don't need a quarterback, and that's great. It's always great.
But we need quarterbacks to go in the first round.
It's always great when you don't care who the quarterbacks are in the draft class because you don't need one. So that's it for this week's edition of the Character Concerns Podcast. Make sure you download, like, subscribe, tell your friends about us. We appreciate the support that you guys have for us during the football season and during draft season as well. So me and Bink about to go home, watch this doubleheader from Monday Night Football, and we'll be back next week to give you the latest update on the best players in college football that you should be watching out for, give you the best analysis on what the Chiefs need, and as always, make sure you download, subscribe, and support us because we appreciate the support here. For Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Osero. This has been the latest edition of the Character Concerns Podcast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.